We're on week two, and I'll do a little bit of a review as I jump in to catch us up, but we're going to spend a week on each chapter in this little book. So as we jump in here to this Jonah series, looking at a message from inside the fish, let me read the second chapter to you. Jonah chapter 2, verse number 1 says this, "From inside the fish..." Inside the fish. Where is he? Inside what?
Fish.
From inside the fish. Where is he? He's inside the fish. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, where's he praying? Where? Well, you're inside. Be more specific than that. He's inside the fish. He's inside the fish. Don't miss that in this text. He's inside the fish. "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry." I doubt if he had pen and paper with him in the fish. I think he wrote it down afterwards. "You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me, and your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head." Where is he? He's in the fish. Come on. "To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." He's inside the fish. Are you with me? He's inside. Sister Joan, where is he?
Inside.
Do you think it was ackee and saltfish?
No, I think he was inside of a snapper.
A snapper? Yeah. You could be right. You put some thought into that. He's inside. Where is he? He's inside the fish. He's in a fish. Jonah did not get vomited and then pray. The fish didn't throw him up and then he landed on the ground and was like, "Hallelujah!" He's inside the fish. He's praying in the fish. He's singing. Where is he singing? He has a song of praise, he says. He's singing inside. Come on, pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. I pray that you would speak to our hearts through this word. I pray that as we consider this prophet, this man of God from so many years ago, I pray, Lord God, this will not simply be a little history, but I pray that it will build us as your church. Teach us to pray even as he prayed. We pray. Church, would you pray with me in Jesus' name? Say, Lord, here am I. I pray, God, that you would build me in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, Jesus, build your church. We started a series, as I mentioned last Sunday, for a few weeks. The book of Jonah is only 48 verses long. Four little chapters. We're hanging out on the chapter each week. We looked at last Sunday on how God never gives up on us. God loves you so much that he will never give up on you. Jonah found that out. You can never run from God. You can never get away from a God who will never give up on you. And God's faster than you. And God's stronger than you. So if you try to run away from God, when you get to where you're going, guess what you find out? He beat you there. He got there before you got there. You can't get away from God. Even when I, like Jonah, try to run away from the will of God and go in a direction that God doesn't want me to go in my life, God still beats me to the destination and says, no, God never gives up on you. God never throws in the towel on you. God always wants to bring you back into his will, and God always wants to continue his work in your life. And he does this for us. Remember that with Jonah. We could get the impression from the little book of Jonah that Jonah's not a very good guy. We could say, well, who is this guy who runs from God and doesn't really want Nineveh to be saved? He doesn't seem like a very good guy. But reality is, the whole way Jonah got himself into this situation is because he's a man of God. Jonah knows God so well that when God speaks to him, he hears and knows the voice of God. He knows God's voice. In fact, God can speak very specifically to Jonah. God can say, Jonah, go to Nineveh, preach this specific message. Jonah hears from God. He knows God's voice. Jonah's in this situation not because he's a lousy guy. Jonah's in this situation because he's a man of God. Are you with me? He's a man of God, but he doesn't like what God called him to do. But he is a man of God. So never tune Jonah out thinking, well, I love God, so that's not really me. No, no, no. Jonah's a good word for each and every one of us. But again, he tried to outrun God. He learned you can't outrun God, because when you get there, God's already there. Now, Jonah laid out some serious cash to try to get away from God. They didn't put him on the boat for free. The Bible very specifically says he bought the ticket. What's the farthest you've ever flown from here? Who's been far? Iraq. How much was the ticket? Do you remember? Oh, you were in the army, so we all paid for that one. You did pay for it. They just held it out your check. Yeah. It was just a little different system of payment. What's the most expensive ticket you've bought? How much does it cost when you flew home to Africa? Come on, give me some numbers. 1,000? 2,000? Yeah. That's because you fly first class. Come on down with the regular folk. No, 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 not really. I know it's 2,000. I've done it. I've flown to Africa several times. I've flown to Asia. I've flown to Thailand and India and bounced around over there as well. These are tickets that are outrageous. You drop a couple thousand dollars for a ticket. Fly to Australia, wherever else. These are expensive. Jonah flew to the... he didn't fly. Jonah bought a ticket on the boat to as far as the boat would go. Tarshish was the end of the world. It was right there on the bottom of Spain. That's as far as he could go. Jonah didn't know about Maryland. If he knew about Maryland, he'd have bought a ticket to Baltimore. He didn't even know it was here. Jonah had to go where he knew he could go, and for him, all he could do was to get to the end of Europe, to get to the end of Spain. When he picked Tarshish, he showed up and laid down the money and said, how much for a ticket to as far as this boat goes? That's how far away he's trying to get from God. But still can't get away from God. Amen? You still can't, because God still stayed after him. The Bible tells us that God prepared a fish for him. We saw that last week. It was in this fish prepared by God that we encounter him today where he is praying. There are some folks who would say, some critics of Scripture who would say, how could a fish swallow him? They say, whales can't swallow something that big, and there are no fish that can swallow someone like that. We're talking about a God who walks on water and axe heads float and red seas part and raises the dead. Are you with me? We're talking about a God who does supernatural things and miracles. The Bible says God prepared the fish. It might have been a specially prepared snapper. I don't know, Joan might have had the anointing upon her when she said that. It may very well have been that. But whatever it was, it does not have to be a fish that you can find in the ocean now. To try to identify it now doesn't make any sense. It's a fish that God prepared for this purpose that was there that would swallow him in this moment. It swallowed him. It spit him out, as we know. I don't know what Jonah was thinking, though, before he got spit out when the fish first swallowed him. I cannot imagine being thrown off a boat, sinking in the water, and then a fish comes up and starts to swallow me, and I'm like, yay! That must have been horrifying. Horrifying. You cannot possibly have interpreted it as a good thing. A fish is eating me. No. And yet, inside the fish, Jonah changes. Though we do not know his initial thoughts, we know that he prays, and his prayer teaches us some things. Even in the midst of our 21 days of prayer and fasting, one of the things that it teaches us is that you are never too far gone to pray. You are never too far gone to pray. Verses 1 and 2 said, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed, and he said, in my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Now let's back it up a little bit. When Jonah was still on the boat, there was a lot of praying going on. In fact, the Bible says that every single person on the boat was praying, except one. There's only one person on the boat not praying. And who's that? Jonah. The guy who usually prays is the only guy not praying. He's running from... When you're living in sin, you don't spend a lot of time in prayer. Now, you don't know about it because you never sinned after you got saved. That's why you stayed so quiet when I said that. But for Enzo and I, we struggled a couple of times along the way on the journey, so we had to do some praying. But anyway, when you're not where God wants you to be, You kind of stay away from God. You kind of stay away from God. That was Jonah. Jonah's not praying when he's there. Jonah, every sailor on the boat is praying. Every sailor's crying out in the storm. They're crying to false gods, but they're all crying out. How many of you remember that? It was 10 years ago this past week. 10 years ago, the miracle on the Hudson, as it was called, when that plane flown by Captain Sully landed there in the Hudson River. I snuck a couple extra pics in just for fun. Let me show you a couple other things real quick to give you some perspective. That is a view from our church when I lived in Yonkers. That's the Hudson River right there. So we were right down up from the river there where the ships would go back and forth. And one more, I used to have fun on the river. That is your pastor in his kayak on the Hudson River. You see the little nose of my kayak. I will tell you this. If you take a kayak out on the Hudson, be careful of the ships because they will not be careful of you. They just go where they want to go. And that is the truth. This plane landed on the Hudson River. It's out there. Now, here's what I saw in an interview. There was this guy who was interviewed that I seen who was on the plane, and he came out and he said this. He said, everyone on the plane was praying. There were atheists praying on that airplane. There were people that never prayed who were praying on that airplane. I'll guarantee you. People that hadn't prayed in weeks, months, years, when they said, brace yourself, the plane's going down, what do you think they started doing? I believe they started praying then. They're praying then. That's what happened on the boat. On the boat, they don't even believe in Jonah's God. They're crying out to false idols and things, it says. Everybody starts praying. The boat's going down. They all start crying out. They're scared. They all start to lift up their voices, but again, to mere idols. And while they're all praying, this boatload of people crying out to God, one guy is below deck sleeping. This is not Jesus sleeping through the storm in the New Testament at peace. This is a guy who is so spiritually, physically, mentally exhausted that he is spent and he has collapsed. You don't sleep through this storm. He's done. His body has given out. His mind has given out. He's distraught. He's at a place where he is shut down. And they come down there and they wake him up, as you know, and they throw him in the sea. And when they throw him in the sea and he's swallowed by the fish, everything changes. He receives this incredible rebuke from God through the storm. And then after being thrown over and eaten, Jonah does something that he has not done in a little while. Jonah starts praying. You know what? He wasn't too far from God. He wasn't too far from God, because you're never too far from God. Jonah could have thought in that context, God might not even hear me when I pray. Maybe God won't listen to me when I pray. I'm running from God. I'm living in disobedience. Why would I cry out to him? Psalm 34:17 tells us this. It says, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of how many? All their troubles. But if you're Jonah, you could think that's not me. Jonah could think, I'm not righteous, I'm rebellious. Jonah could think, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm living in sin. I'm running from God. God won't hear me. God's not going to listen to me when I pray. I wouldn't be surprised if he thought that way, because we could think that way at times. Proverbs 15:29, it tells us this. It says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous, it says. And yet again, he could have thought, man, God's not going to listen to me. I'm too far away from God. I'm too far gone from God. But again, it's not true. Jonah would discover something that you will discover and I will always discover, and that is that when we take the time to pray, we're never too far gone. God is there. God is there. When Samson was in chains with his eyes gouged out, and he finally turned and said, God, would your spirit come upon me one more time in this moment? Guess what he found out? He wasn't too far gone to pray, and God answered his prayer. When David had fallen into vile sin and fallen into that murder, adultery, and when he got down on his knees and he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know what he found out? He wasn't too far gone to pray. God heard him and God responded to him in that situation as well. When Jacob, the deceiver, got to the place where he had lost it all and was trying to come back to his homeland, and he was there and he was all alone at night, he prayed, I will not let go unless you bless me. And he found out he was not too far gone. When the thief hung on the cross next to Jesus and was hanging there in his dying breath and turned to look at Jesus and says, remember me when you come into your kingdom, he wasn't too far gone to pray. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. You're never too far gone. When you cry out to God, God hears. God listens. He doesn't cut us off in that way. If there's a desire within you to call out to Him, He will be there. Praise God. Now left on his own, Jonah had quit talking to God. Go ahead, give him praise. Do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Left on his own, he had quit. But God stayed after him. God pursued him. Sometimes when we're in a situation where we're trapped and feel like we can't get out, we can think, what to do? Turn to God. Cry out to Him. He will be there. He will be there. And catch this as well when you pray. Prayers in faith always rise up to God. Somebody say always. Verse 7 says this, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Where is he? Come on, stay with me. Where is he? He's inside the fish. Inside the fish is where he prays that. In verse 7, in there. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you. So where is he when he remembers God? You're getting good. It's inside the fish that his prayers rise up to him and God hears his prayer. You know, parents have the ability to tune their children out. My wife's like a pro at this. She was really good. We'll be in the car going down the road. We're traveling somewhere. I'm driving the car. My wife is here in the passenger seat. My two sons are in the back seat. From the back seat, I hear this. This is the back seat. Mom, 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 mom. And I'm driving the car. And Sarai's sitting there. And I'm driving along. Mom. And I'm looking over at Sarai. And finally, I'm like, Sarai, you don't hear him. Sarai's like, huh? What? She don't even know he said anything. She don't even hear him. She is just like, there's like a mental block. It's like you already said, it's like you only get a certain number of times that you get to say mom a day. And once you cross the line, we're done. We're done. No more mom. You're on your own here on out. You said mom 50 times this morning. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You already used your quota. Where are the moms? Where are the moms, right? We're done. No more mom. No more mom. Go figure it out. You're good. You're 8 years old. You got this. Go figure it out. And parents will do this. Dads can do it too, not just moms. It's like God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. You never kneel down and you're like, Father, Father, Father. Father, Father. And then Gabriel's like, hey, 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 that guy's calling you. Hey, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen with God. God always hears. God always responds. God is able to do it to all of us at the same time. And these prayers ascend to Him. Just as Old Testament sacrifices, as the incense burned in the temple would rise, they ascend unto Him into the presence of God. When Jesus taught us about prayer in Matthew 21, verse 22, He told us this. He said, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And in Mark 11, 24, he taught us this as well. He said, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. We pray in faith. And even when you've hit rock bottom, it's still never too late to pray in faith. It's still never too late to say, God, I believe in you. God, I'm trusting in you. God, I'm looking to you, Lord God. God, I need you in this situation. Remember the woman with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of the blood. The Bible said she had spent all of her resources. She is flat broke. She has spent all her money. She has tried everything she could come up with. And then she says, if I can just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I will be made whole. And when she reaches out and touches it, she doesn't touch it. And then Jesus turns around and says, you should have thought about this before you spent all your money and tried everything else first. No, 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 no. You're never too far gone to look to God. You're never too far gone to reach out. Instead, in faith, when she reaches out, what happens? She's made whole. God responds to our prayers in faith. Teen Challenge is a tremendous ministry all around the world. Many of you are probably familiar with it. It's a Christian drug and alcohol rehabilitation program. They're centers, homes that you live in and for lives to be restored. And I've worked with them a lot over the years. This is a picture of a water baptismal service that I was at the Brooklyn Teen Challenge. In fact, I brought that pool with me that we're standing in. I'm not in that picture. I'm the one with the camera. But we're in that pool there. So it was over there. It was a Friday night where we're having a service where we baptized 20 people on this Friday night. This woman that is in the pool, I pulled her picture in particular because her testimony was so moving to me. 44 years addicted to drugs. 44 years. I haven't even been alive I have been a lot longer than that. But anyway, but that's a long time. That's a long time. 44 years. And you know what happened after 44 years of being a slave to drug addiction? No, when she cried out to God? God heard her prayer. God set her free. Her life restored. It was tremendous testimony of what God had done. Pray in faith. Pray in faith. And let me say this. When you feel like you don't have any faith and you've hit rock bottom in your life and you know you need to pray and call on God and you're like, Pastor, I don't even have a mustard seed left within me. I've got nothing. That's when it's time to hold on to Matthew 18, 19 and 20, where Jesus says, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth, what planet are you on? All right, so we're in on this one. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with you. So when you think, man, I just don't have any faith, that's when it's time to get somebody else who's got a little faith and say, hey, I need for you to pray with me. Stand up with me real quick. Don't get excited. I'm not finished, but stand up real quick. Stand up. Somebody's like, ooh, that's it. Nope. We're still in for a bit more. Would you do something really quick? Would you go to somebody around? Don't walk far. Go to somebody right around you. Turn to somebody maybe front behind you. Say, hey, when you need somebody to pray for you, I got you. Let somebody know that real quick. Would you let somebody know, I'll pray for you. You can ask me. You can ask me. You ask me and I'll pray for you. I'll agree with you. Amen? You call on me. Hey, Wendy, I'll pray for you. You ask me. I mean that. Amen. I'll pray for you. Come on. We agree together. Say, man, we're going to agree together in prayer. Amen. Don't do it right now. You're just telling them. Sit back down. Nobody sneaking out. Man the door. Man the door. Come on. Pray in faith. Agree together. Let me give you something else here really quick out of this chapter. And that's this one. As we do that, we do so holding on to what is everlasting. Holding on to what is eternal. Verse number 8, Jonah said, those who cling to worthless idols, they forfeit the grace that could be theirs. What a powerful proclamation. The men in the boat were praying to worthless idols. But once they saw the power of the one true God, they knew better than to cling to what was worthless. And they began to pray to the one true and living God, the Bible tells us. That comes in the next chapter, but that's the turn that happens in their lives. We do it if we're not careful. We hold on to what is worthless. Anytime I hold on to something in my life, hold on to my sin, hold on to my bitterness, hold on to anger, hold on to whatever is keeping me away from what God wants me to be, and God wants me to let go of it and go over here, and I say, no, I want to hold on to this. What Jonah says is you forfeit the grace of God in your life. God had things for you, and God wanted us to move over and to receive that. Instead, we say, no, I want to hold on to this. I want to hold on to this temporary thing, to this thing of earth, this evil thing, whatever it is. No. We want to make sure we hold on to what is eternal in our lives, to what is lasting in our lives. What is temporary will destroy us. We want to reach out for what lasts forever. I have a friend, Deanna Richardson, who's a missionary in Thailand, and she tells me, because they have millions of gods in Thailand. These guys on the boat had a lot of different gods. Literally, when I say millions, I'm not exaggerating. Millions of gods for the Buddhist people there. So she says it's tough, because when you tell people Jesus is God, and they say you should receive Jesus as your God, they all say yes, yes. Everybody says yes. You say, well, you want Jesus to be your God? Yes, yes. Because they want to take Jesus home, put him on the shelf with all the other ones. Look, I got another one. And she says, that's what they do. That's what they do. Literally. Easy. You can tell them about another God. You want him? Yep. Put him right there with all the other ones. They have a lot. She said, we know people's lives have been changed when they go home and they throw all the idols away. And they say, no, there's just going to be one God. One God. We're going to look to what is everlasting, to what is eternal, that change. We want to make sure in our lives that we hold on to what is everlasting as well. The things of earth do not last. They all pass away. Imagine the mistake of missing out. forfeiting what God has in our lives because we want to just hold on to what is going to destroy us, to what is temporary, to what's going to pass away, whatever it would be. Hebrews 4:16 tells us this. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." See, the throne of grace is eternal, as is the King who sits on it. Hold on to what is everlasting. Everything else is worthless. The things of earth can be let go of. They're worthless. We hold on to what lasts forever. Amen? And just a final thought off of this chapter as well, and that is that God is always worthy of praise. God is always worthy of praise. These are all a part of Jonah's prayer. All a part of Jonah's prayer. God is always worthy of praise. Verse number 90 says, "But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you." He's inside the fish. He's in the fish. Where is he singing? At church on Sunday morning with his Sunday go-to-meeting clothes on? No, he's inside the fish. And he's singing praise to God. Worship is a part of prayer. It's a way that we connect with God. Sometimes we don't feel like praising. Things can be bad, seem bad or are bad, and it can seem like God is far off. But Jonah has a song in the fish. Paul and Silas thrown into prison, beaten, feet in the stocks. What are they doing at midnight? Singing praise to God. Jonah thrown off the boat, swallowed by a fish. Once he come to his senses, singing praise to God. Singing in the midst. It'd be easy to sing after the fish threw you up. Everybody'd have a song after they threw you up. The children of Israel were singing on the other side of the Red Sea. Hello. Everybody's singing once you come out. Jonah's singing right there in it. Right in it he's still singing. In the midst of that, he's still crying out to him. I love seeing that. I love seeing folks who are in the midst of the trial, in the midst of what they're going through, still singing a song of thanksgiving unto God. Philippians chapter 4 tells us not to worry about anything. It says, "But in everything by prayer and prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to make our request known to God." Hallelujah. You can't wait until you're spit out to praise. I said you can't wait until you're spit out to praise. If you think, "I'm going to praise once I'm spit out," no. Praise now. Say, "Pastor, I'm going through a trial right now. I'm going through a tough thing right now." Maybe you got yourself into it. Maybe you didn't. Maybe other circumstance got you into it. Sing in the fish. Pray in the fish. While you're still in there, you cry out to God from within there. That's where we pray the prayer of faith. That's where we still give God praise, while we're still within there. We know God works in a realm where we cannot see. I might not be able to see God's plan. It'd be hard to see the plan of God from inside the fish. But God had a plan. God was bringing him back, and he already lifts up a song of praise to him. God's going to answer so we can go ahead and start thanking him and giving him praise. Amen? Knowing he's doing that. My friends, the time to start praying is always today. If you're someone who is talking with God on a regular basis, don't stop. Don't stop. Keep communicating with God. Keep crying out to God. Stay connected to God. Let prayer be a part of your life. But if you've drifted away, and I've walked with God long enough, I've been a believer now for 30 some odd years, that is long enough where I've had times where I'm passionately seeking God, and then I've had times where my faith has kind of grown cold along the way. I know that never happened to you, but that's happened to me. Are you with me? That's happened to me. Where I realize I'm not praying like I should be praying. I'm not spending time with God the way I should be spending time with God. I've let myself grow cold in all this. Man, we realize that. When we start, you say, "Man, I need to pray." Guess what happens when we pray? We find out God's right there. Just like with Jonah. He's like, "I was right here waiting for you. I've been right here all along. I never left. I never forsook you. I was right here." It's always time to connect with him again, to begin to cry out to him again. God's going to hear you. God's going to answer, because God never gave up on you. Give him praise for that. He never will. Amen? Come on, stand with me. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Somebody speak some words of thanksgiving and praise to God before the band even starts. Amen. Go ahead. Speak out to him. Hallelujah. We thank you, God. We praise you, God. We give you glory, God. We lift our voices to you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. You might say, "Pastor, I haven't prayed in a while. I'm not doing the fast, Pastor. I'm just kind of going along on my own. I haven't really been praying." Today's the day to start. Today's the day. So you say, "Well, I've been going through a tough time." Pray in the fish. singing the fish. Today's the day to start. So you know what? I'm turning to Him. In faith, I want to commit myself to Him. I want to pursue Him. I want to follow Him. I want to go after Him. Amen. He's been good to us. He's been gracious to us. We don't want to forfeit His grace. We want to experience all that He has for us in our lives. Let's pursue Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. You're singing, "This is Amazing Grace." Let's do that. Let's sing this before I pray.